You're in the right place. I'm sure each person had an excuse why they didn't feel like they needed to come. So you're the ones that fought the excuse. So good job, and we're glad to have you. Amen. I'm going to preach it. The Word of God is offensive because it tells you when you need to make a change. So if this hits you, do not get offended at me. You can get offended at God because He told you there was something about the sermon that wasn't right in your life. Amen? And that's not a pastor problem. That's a you problem. I'm not going to sugarcoat the gospel. When you get a pastor that wants to sugarcoat the gospel, they care more about the pew than they care about heaven. I'm not that pastor. Amen. Y'all go with me this morning to Proverbs chapter 18. We're going to look at verse 2. I want to speak this morning on a very relevant subject. It is something that from the time that you get about 2 years old for the rest of your life, this will affect you. And that is opinions. And I want to speak to the believer this morning about opinions. I'm not even addressing the unsaved because I got my hands full just addressing the saved with this. And I want to say to believers, you know, you have an order of contact or an order of conduct that we should honor because we are believers. We can't just say and do anything that we feel like saying and doing because, once again, there's a covenant that we make when we say, Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. There's a covenant and there's an order in which that we're supposed to live our lives. Do we hit that every day? Probably not. Try. Put forth effort. There's way too many believers in the world today, and there is no effort coming out. Okay? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding. You could take this word understanding and you could interchange it with learning. A fool finds no pleasure in learning. What are we supposed to learn about? Believers have an obligation to learn and to study the Word of the Lord. We have an obligation and we are supposed to work out our own salvation. And a part of working out the salvation is you get to know God, not for your mama's sake, but for your sake. Because you can't live off of your mom and daddy's faith, your husband's faith, or anybody else's faith. You've got to get to that point where you're living on your own faith and you have a relationship with the Creator and you're searching out His Word. Only a fool, and the Word of God tells us this, only a fool doesn't want to learn about God. Amen. Because truly, in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. And if you're not learning about Him, you're not going to live real great. So it says, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights or takes a lot of gratification in airing his opinions. So, don't tell me that the Word of God is irrelevant, because the Word of God is the most relevant thing on the planet. There is nothing new under the sun. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when He says in His Word that only a fool doesn't like understanding the things of God, only a fool sets it in their heart to not learn about God, but they really like airing out their own opinions, this tells me that there truly is nothing new under the sun. I am not going to address the unsaved today. I am just going to stick to the believer because, like I said, this many believers fall under this right here, and it's not right. Opinions are not facts. Everybody has their opinions. And you can have your opinions, and you will, with even out my permission. But they should not be aired out. Here's the deal. When you have a believer, everybody, even the people that are not saved, everybody's preaching their own message. We're all preachers. We're all preaching our own message. And when we air out our opinions, there's a possibility. See, take me for example. If I just got on Facebook and I just aired out every single opinion, I guarantee you there would be some people that would decide that they did not like God, that they did not want to go to church, that they did not all of the things. And I would put a label on Jesus Christ just because of what I do for a living. When Christians air out their opinions, you do the same thing. There's too much of it. Our culture, and I'm going to talk about our culture, and I'm going to have to keep this so real. Our culture has applauded self-expression. I don't disagree with self-expression, but what I do disagree is when self-expression does not line up in parallel to His Word. Amen. Okay? Now, I'm going to give you some examples. If you have a religious spirit, you will not be able to stay in this church. Not because I don't want you to, but because you will hate it so much. And if you have an offensive personality, you also won't like it, because I will tell it exactly how it is, and that's exactly what I'm going to do today. Amen. Our culture says, go ahead and express yourself. Be who you want to be. I highly disagree with that. The Word of God tells us, be who I made you to be, not who you think that you want to be. You need to set it in your heart. God, I choose to be who you want me to be. I choose to be that person. I choose to, there is within the boundaries of God and what He has set out in His Word, can people self-express? Absolutely. 100%. 100%. But we should never say, I'm going to be who I want to be. No, baby, because you're going to have a part in your life. I promise you, straight is that gate and narrow is that way. And you keep being who you want to be, you will fall flat on your face, and you're going to have trouble in your life, because God never created you to be who you wanted to be. He created you in His image and with a purpose. You'll never even be able to be completely happy being who He didn't make you to be. Self-expression says it's okay for the child to disobey the teacher when the teacher says, little Johnny, stand up because you're going to pledge the flag. And the fact that we have children that will not do that, to me, that is an abomination that you cannot honor your country. Okay? That is not self-expression. That is rebellion. And when we have, what does that rebellion do in 50 years? In 50 years, what will that look like? That's the problem with the society that we live in. There's not enough believers that will stand up or that will call the school and say, you are dead wrong for teaching my kid that there's two kings, because that is not right. Now, I'm going to preach it this morning. If it hair lifts every single catfish in the Arkansas River, it's going to be preached. Because look here, that is what God sent me to do. And the day that He don't want me to do it, He'll lead me on to better things. I believe He wants me here. But when He's got me here, I'm going to preach it. Amen. There ain't two kings. That's wrong. I didn't say it was wrong. The Word of God says that it's wrong. I also agree with the Word. Okay? You're not going to catch me up here giving a bunch of different opinions, because I believe in sticking to the Word of God, because I take the Word for what it is. And if I can just give people the Word, see, the Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It has the ability to cut through all of our nonsense. Amen? We got a lot of nonsense. That's why I'm addressing the believer today, because we're all full of it. Amen? Now, if this is strong preaching, I'm sorry. You got 40 more minutes of it. Okay. Amen. Thank you. I want you to get into the church service. Our culture applauds self-expression. Our culture applauds it. Our culture says, Be who you want to be. God says, be who I made you to be. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. If you love your children, and I'm looking right at you, Facebook crew, if you love your children, you'd have them in a church. Don't tell me that you love your kids and, oh, we're going to get the $100 birthday cake and all the stuff. Look here. If you love your children, you'll teach them to honor and love the Lord. You'll have them in His house. And you'll quit making excuses why everything is more important than God. Amen? I didn't realize God was going to really have me be real today, but we're going to go there. Here's another thing that I'm going to address. The believer needs to know how to stand on the Word of God. And I'm going to broach a subject that's not going to get me any brownie points, but guess what? I got my own brownies. I don't need any points. And I'm going to say this as delicately as possible, and I'm going to also throw this out here. When you see people and what they're doing doesn't line up with His Word, that doesn't mean mistreat them. That doesn't mean be mean to them. That doesn't mean throw them away, okay? That doesn't mean be judgmental for them. That means that more than anything in that person's life, you should lift them up and you should pray for them because they need the prayer and you need the practice. Amen? Amen? Now, I am not going down with today's culture that says that if you feel like being a cat, you can be a cat. I'm not going down with that. That's stupidity. I'm about to get louder, Rocky. People are like, the ones that ain't heard me, they're like, oh my God, what did I get into? Truth. And it's the only thing that'll set you free. When we have our young people, and we have adults in society and they say, well, I was born a boy, but I feel like being a girl and I'm going to do something about it. Let me ask each one, do you believe that God makes mistakes?
No.
Okay. With that being said, when we choose to try to be anything other than the gender that He created us to be, when people do that, what they are really saying is, God, you made a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. We have got to stop condoning, and I'm not saying get into knockdown dragouts. I'm telling you to love that person to the cross.
Amen.
I'm telling you to love them to the cross. That don't be mean to them. That's not what that means. Right. Somebody sent me something the other day that was a post that somebody that I dearly love that has just literally turned around and has just started living for the devil. See, you're going to serve somebody. It's going to be the Lord or the world, okay? And when you choose not to serve God, that tells you what you're serving. But somebody said, I would rather burn in hell than sit in a church with a bunch of judgmental people. Well, I don't want to sit in church with a bunch of judgmental people either. But you know what it told me? It told me that that person needed a lot of prayer. And I began to take that Facebook post and I put my hand over that and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command every filthy spirit that has attached itself to this person that I love and I command it to come off of there. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you're going to create situations. You're going to allow situations. God, I ask right now that you would send a laborer. God, it don't have to be me because God, it probably ain't me. But God, I ask that you would handpick the laborer to help this person because God, I love that person. See, I've been mad at him. I've been offended at him. I've been disgusted at him. But now, see, the game changed because pastor's going to be the pastor God created her to be, not the pastor I want to be. Because in my flesh, I'm like, how dare people? But see, Erica, that don't get us nowhere. There's not a lot of room for our judgmental opinions. And here's what I know about people after being in the people business my whole life. Y'all got your crap. And I can say that because I will keep this where we can all relate. When you're going to bed at night and you're pulling the covers up and you're... You know you all got your stuff. And we're all like, ooh. I hope to God ain't nobody ever finds that out about me. That's why you shouldn't be judgmental.
Amen.
That's why. Okay? It's easy. It's easy to pick on what we can outwardly see. But on the inside, some Christians are the ugliest people I know. That's wrong. Okay? We got to change that. Go with me to Mark chapter 16. We're going to look at verses 15 through 19. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 19. We are all preaching. What did God tell us to do? This is called the Great Commission. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel. The gospel. Not your opinion. The gospel. And there's a big difference. The gospel, not your opinion. I'm going to point out a very important thing here in the service. There is biblical principles, which is the word and the truth of God, and there are biblical opinions. And those two things are so polar opposite. There are biblical principles, the truth and the meat of the word of God. And then there are, and there will always be, biblical opinions, which means they are not in the word. They are things, all of us Christians, we have opinions about what we feel about what's right and wrong and this and that. Those are opinions.
Right.
You can have biblical opinions. You should probably keep them to yourself. Okay? Because, see, the word tells us, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Let's just preach the gospel. There's plenty of material in here to last us more than a lifetime.
Amen.
Let's preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what happens when you preach the gospel. Whoever believes you, they're going to be saved. Can you make a believer out of anybody?
Yes.
Did you catch that? See, the word tells us to preach the gospel. And when we preach it in such a way, people that we're preaching it to, they're going to believe and they're going to be baptized and they're going to be saved. Can you make a believer out of anybody? And if you can't, that's an issue for you. But he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. See, when God saved you, he didn't make you into a little girl. He made you into a powerful person because, see, these signs are going to follow people that truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into the heaven and at the right hand of God. Stick to the facts of the word and keep your opinions to yourself. Go with me to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 1. I'm going to describe and define to you what is a biblical opinion, because you need to know. Accept him, we're in Romans chapter 14, verse 1, accept him whose faith is weak. Okay. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. Have you ever gotten into a dispute or a debate about something? Those things, okay, most of those things are opinions. I used to work at a clinic, and they'd always get me back there, and they would start up their nonsense about their biblical opinions. And what they were really trying to do was bait me into an argument. Look here, I'm back there to eat and not argue with you people, okay? My lunch is more important than that argument. I'm going to eat that thing. I ain't going to waste my lunch break on arguing with y'all. But there was one day where a certain doctor, and I love doctors, and I believe in medicine, and if the doctor has you on medicine, you need to take your medicine, okay? I ain't one of them pastors that's so creepy. They're like, oh, stop taking all your medicine. No, baby, take your medicine. Girlfriends, put your makeup on, okay?
Amen.
And if you feel like cutting your hair, that's okay for you to do that. And I'm saying these things because these are biblical opinions that people have spewed out. They're absolutely ignorant. But there was a doctor, and it was on a Wednesday night. At least I'm entertaining. I hope you're getting the part of this word, but I'm going to keep it real. There was a doctor, and he said, I got to hurry up and get out of here tonight because we got church, and I got to be there at 6 o'clock. This is before I was the pastor, to help Daddy get the church ready to open at 7 o'clock. So we got to go. This was back when I had little toddlers. And he looked at me in front of everybody, and he said, that is so stupid that you would make a little kid on a weeknight go to church. They're never going to remember that.
Oh,
now, listen.
Ooh,
I saw an opportunity to get into disputable matters. Because truthfully, the word says train up your child in the way that they should go. They didn't tell you you were going to hell every time that you're not in church, but you'd be smarter to have your kids in church, okay? But I just looked at him and I said, and I was so proud of myself, I said, well, you can do what you want to with your own kids. But I take my kids to church because I believe wholeheartedly they are going to remember it. They're going to remember it. See, you don't have to get into disputable matters because those disputable matters are a lot of time opinions. And people like to argue more than they like to have unity. Grab a hold of that. I'm going to say it one more time. People like to argue way more than they like to live in unity. And then those same people want to know why their life has no peace in it. It's because they are argumentative to a fault. And I'm going to tell you something. If you are a Facebook typing warrior, please don't embarrass yourself and your church and your family. Should you really be doing that? Because there's lots of messages being preached on Facebook, and God's just like, my God, Jesus, I mean, do we need to go back? I mean, what are we doing? I asked my husband, I said, Frank, do you think on Judgment Day God's going to pull up some of our Facebook posts and start reading them? I mean, he says like every idle word, you know. It's like, I'm sure hope not. He don't even have Facebook. I thank God for that every day. But it says, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. Here's what I will tell you about your opinions. Just because you have an opinion doesn't mean you need to argue over it. Because here's the deal. You can have an opinion, and you can have an opinion, and you can have an opinion. Guess what? We get to have opinions. We get to. So it does us no good to sit and argue. Because at the end of the day, if I'm hell-bent on something in one direction, and so is Cece, guess what? We should pay attention to what we can agree on instead of what we cannot. Especially because we're believers. Right? So it says, don't get into this stuff with disputable matters. Biblical opinions are most of the time personal convictions. I'm going to say that again. Biblical opinions, most of the time, are personal convictions. I get asked all the time, Pastor, am I going to hell over smoking? Okay, I'm going to explain something to you. I don't have the authority to say who's going to heaven and who's going to hell, so that's a loaded question for a human being to answer, okay? But here's what I don't see in God or His Word. I don't see Him just looking for reasons to keep people out of heaven. I see Him as a loving, gracious God that says that He came in the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And that's what He came to do. And if God can get all of His kids in the same boat and start loving folks instead of trying to opinionize them constantly over what they're not doing right, we might get somewhere. It says to accept him whose faith is weak. You don't have to agree with people's opinions. And if somebody is extremely opinionated and that gets under your skin, you may need to back up from them a little bit so you don't have to be annoyed so much. And then it says, without passing judgment on disputable matters. Here's a question. Here's a truth question. We're going to see how truthful we can be, not with each other, but with ourselves. Because that's where truth starts. Have you ever looked on Facebook and you saw an opinion of somebody you know on Facebook, and you saw their opinion, and it made you dislike that person or think less of them? Raise your hand. Those of you that don't got your hand up, you that don't got Facebook, or you're lying.
Amen.
If anything, it might direct you on how better to pray for people, okay? Isn't it important for you to know a direction in which to pray for people? Without passing judgment. I have really had to watch myself here lately because I want to see people's opinions and I want to be judgmental about them and then I want to not like them because if their opinion doesn't match up with my opinion. Now, I can keep that real in front of 100 folks. Can you keep it real with just yourself? Amen. Disputable matters. Romans chapter 14 and 2. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man's, whose faith is weak, only eats vegetables. Okay, we're talking about people's faith here. Do we all understand that everybody is different? Okay, there's no two people the same. So everyone's faith is at a different level. People's salvations are in different places. Okay, what I have in this bowl is a bag of grapes. Is this a fruit? It is, right? Okay, so here's one Christian, and they're fat spiritually. Gonna not get myself in trouble over that. I don't need any help getting in trouble. And here's some bananas. Now, this is fruit also, right? Okay, here's one believer, and they look different. Their faith is in a different place. It's still a fruit. It's still a believer, right? Here's the grapes. Here's a different believer. They're still a fruit. They're still a believer, but they're different. You see this a lot of times in different denominations. And you're not going to catch me saying bad things about denominations. We're interdenominational. What does that mean? We've chosen to focus on something greater than a religion, a denomination, and that is Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why I do not focus. I don't care what you are, because you come in here, you're going to be loved on and cared after, and I'm not going to worry whether you're a Baptist, a Catholic, a Presbyterian, a Methodist, or whatever you are. But if you're unsaved, you're going to feel some real love, and God's going to convict that heart, and you're going to want to be saved, because when you come up in here, I'm praying that the vibe or that the essence of the place is not that we're a bunch of judgmental jerks.
Amen.
Right? That is very important, that you go into a church and you don't feel judged about what you're wearing, what you did, what your last name is, how many whatever you got going on. That's important. Because once again, for everything that can be seen in the natural eye that we know about people, there's so many things that's unseen about people that we think are just perfect. And thank God that we serve a God. He says, I don't look on man's outward appearance. I'm looking right at their heart.
Amen.
Why? Because the heart of the matter is there's a lot of Christians with ugly hearts.
Amen.
And we have to work on that, and we have to change that. So we shouldn't pass judgment. Let's go to Romans chapter 14. We're going to look at verses 3 and 4. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man that does. For God has accepted him. We have to understand that God accepts people of all different types of faith levels. He accepts them. It's bad when people don't feel accepted into the body of Christ.
Yes. Yes.
Can people be outrageous? They absolutely can. Okay? God accepts the weak and the strong in faith. We must not look down on people and cast judgment on them. God makes both people to stand. And we are not to judge. For instance, years ago in my childhood, there was a holiness preacher, and he was an absolute fireball man of God, and his name was Brother Autry Davis. Okay? He was a neighbor of ours, and he had a holiness church, and no doubt in any of his messages, he had around 100 scriptures that he went to. Now, y'all would like shut the building down. Y'all be like, oh, heck no. But he did. And I remember going to that church, and we would wear out of honor and respect, because we honored and respected his church and his denomination, we would respect what their culture was. And so we, therefore, because they were a holiness denomination, me and Mama and Casey, we would wear the dresses and all of the things, okay? And he would ask Dad, Brother Angelo, I could use you in the service, but will you please wear a long sleeve white shirt? I could use you more in my service if you do that. Now listen, as long as all of your bits are covered, okay, then wear what you want to. And I don't care if it's jeans and a t-shirt or if you want to be dressed up to the hilt. It makes me no difference.
Amen.
Do you get what I'm trying to say here? There are biblical opinions. The Bible talks about people's hair being braided. Do I feel that that's a sin? No. But in that culture, back then, that was an issue. But because of certain things in the Word of God, believers are very judgmental.
Amen.
Let's go to Romans chapter 14, verse 13. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another and instead make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way.
Amen.
We're not going to put stumbling blocks in front of people. Now let's go to Romans chapter 14 and verse 22. If you see nothing else, I want you to see this verse today. Romans chapter 14, verse 22. Praise the Lord for His Word. So whatever you believe about these things, what things? The disputable matters. Keep them between yourself and God. There's too many Christians, and we're killing off people spiritually because of our opinions. Okay? Because of our opinions. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, the Word of God and salvation at its best, it'll get people. I remember when I was at this same clinic, there was a man, and he was a nurse, and I had to train him on our software and how he would enter things into the computer and all the stuff. Well, word always got around very quickly that my family had a church and that we were in the ministry. And so people automatically were very uneasy around me because of that. And he was uncomfortable, and I couldn't figure it out. But later on, the week that I trained him, he just finally, he said, I know that you're a pastor's kid, and I know that you're going to have opinions about me, but I just want you to know that I'm a homosexual, and that's it. And you know what I said? I said, you and I, we never have to have another conversation about this. Because here's what I want you to know. You and I, we don't have to agree on that subject. Now, is that a debatable matter or a disputable matter? No. It's not. But when given the opportunity to love on somebody or to reject them, what am I going to do? I'm going to love on them because God will do the rest. I said, God loves you. And I said, you and I are going to get along just great. And we did. And he was one of the sweetest people that I've ever met. See, you can love somebody to the cross, or you can just hate them right to hell. You're going to have to figure out what you want to do for the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 15. I'm going to read this in two translations. Second Timothy chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 15, and I'm going to read that in the NIV, and then I'm going to read it in the King James Version. Do your best to present yourself to God. See, you're presenting yourself to the living God, and there's a way that He wants you to do it. As one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. This part, when I was trying to figure out who I was as a minister, that part was very important to me. Because everything about being a female pastor in the South tries to make you ashamed of that. And guess what? I was called from the very earliest of my childhood. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. This is not a weapon. It is your life. And it is how you save lives, is when you stick to this. In the King James Version, here's what it says. Study, study, study the Word of God. If you're a believer, you should be in His Word, and you should study it. You should study it.
Amen.
To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. God had to really deal with me about this for many years. Rightly, correctly dividing the word of truth. I'm going to read something and then we're going to watch a video. And I'm not doing it for my own gratification, but I'm leading up to a point about opinions, because opinions can hurt people and they can stunt people's growth in their own salvation. When we are rightly handling and rightly interpreting the Word of God, we need to understand some things about the Bible. We need to determine who is speaking, who was the author, whom they're speaking to, and the historical, cultural setting. That is very important, because there are some cultural things written in the Bible, because they were written in culture. How many of you know that you cannot do an Abraham and act like you're going to stab your son because God told you to? You can't do that. There's things all throughout the Bible that people have biblical opinions about, and they're not biblical principles. Brother Mike, play this video, and let's make sure we get those lights down. This is just one area. There's so many things that we see in God's Word, and it has caused confusion with several millions of people. All right, he's going to get it for us. And this is
two
John
lies
Hagee.
The church tells about women today. Lie number one is that women are not equipped to assume leadership in the church. Church history has been hostile to women. Listen to the leaders of the past. John Knox said, quote, "Women in her greatest perfection was made to serve and obey men." End of quote. Wrong. St. Augustine, a Catholic, said, "I fail to see what use women can be to a man if one excludes the function of bearing children." End of quote. Billy Sunday said concerning women leading in the church, quote, "It produces a plastic, spineless, effeminate, and sissified Christianity." Wrong. Did Jesus believe women could lead? In the ministry of Jesus, women were the last to leave the cross, and they the first to arrive at the tomb on the resurrection morning. Where were the men? They were hiding. They were terrified of the Roman government. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 and 3 states that the 12 were with him and some women. There was always a group of women who ministered to the needs of Jesus during his ministry. Did the Holy Spirit exclude women when the Holy Spirit fell in the upper room? Many of the women who followed Christ, including the mother of Christ, were there to receive the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:17 says, "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." The Holy Spirit included women. What was the purpose of the Holy Spirit in the upper room? To empower people to fulfill the Great Commission. The Great Commission is go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen. Amen. John Hagee is a renowned minister. I can't tell you how many biblical opinions I had to fight to just be not who I wanted to be, but who God wanted me to be. This is not a service about women pastors, because I'm past that now. It took a long time to get there. I'm talking about opinions. I'm not talking about biblical facts. I'm talking about opinions. And we all have biblical opinions. And we have to know that he who winneth souls is wise. And you can't afford to sit there and have diarrhea of the mouth and blurt out all of your biblical opinions. I just took you to a verse that says, whatever you believe like that, you keep that between you and God. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. See, we should know how to rightly handle the word of truth. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. What should happen with your biblical opinions? They should be tested and they should be compared to the Word of God. And your life has to parallel to it. You can think something all day long. You can believe a lie and be damned. That's why I'm telling you, get into His Word and study it. Know how to rightly divide the Word of truth, how to rightly divide the Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Test everything. Opinions should be tested and compared to the Word of God. Your opinion should not contradict God's Word. God's Word is truth, it is living, and it is active. Amen. Scripture should always serve as the final authority in your life. Say that again. Scripture should always serve as the final authority or the final say-so in your life. If it does not line up with the Word, it is inaccurate and not correct and probably sinful. Amen. If you can't find it in the Word and it's not in there, then your opinions have got to be lined out, because you can't, as a believer, continue to promote what God's Word does not put out there. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 12. We're to live in Christ. We're to have His Word foreshadow our beliefs and opinions. It's the only thing that has the ability to be truthful. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. See, the Word of God has the ability to divide and distinguish between right and wrong. You can have your opinions all day long. They need to line up with the Word. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges. The Word of God judges our thoughts, our opinions, our words, our actions. The Word does that. That's why you need to be a Word person. You cannot work out your own salvation and don't have the Word of God flowing in your life, because the Word is the light that tells you where to go, what decisions to make. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. We can kill off people just by blabbering our opinion, and we can feel right. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're a person of the Word, your opinions may very well line up with the Word. And one of the messages that I'm going to preach this year is this right here. The Christian has such a hard time loving people and sticking to the Word of God, because the second that we do that, there's somebody over here and they're saying, well, you're judging me because you're not accepting what I'm doing. The Word never tells you that you have to accept sin. And you shouldn't. But there is a certain type of wisdom that can only come from the Lord to help you to win souls. Because what we got to understand is that person somewhere along the line, if they're out of line and they're not doing something that God's Word said is okay, there's been some confusion that the devil has created in their life. And what they don't need is for you to be mad at them, for you to hate them, for you to be disgusted with them. What they really, really need from you is for you, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous person availeth much. God wants your prayers to be more effective than they've ever been. How do you get to that point? You pray and you say, God, in Jesus' name, direct my prayer. Because, God, I've been praying prayers and they're not as defined as they need to be. Help me to pray the prayer for that person. Help me to pray for them. I took that text, that message that I saw from somebody I love, and I tell you, I put my hand over it. And I began to pray. Because hell is hot. Would they rather sit in hell? No. What is that speaking? Every foul demonic spirit that has caused the confusion in their life to begin with. You really love somebody. You really want to see them in heaven. You need to be pleading the blood of Jesus that can wash over all confusion, all disruption, all pervertedness. And you pray that over their life. Amen. Y'all stand to your feet. I hope that you'll be here tonight at 5:30 to support Miss Sister Melissa. She always has a good word. If you can help weed flower beds, please get with Paul back there. I love y'all. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. God, it's true. God, it's blessed. God, it's living. I help that, Lord, you help us to live it out. In Jesus' name, amen.